Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
It is time for Ask the Experts Up. This week we're talking about finance. Get your questions into Robert Whelan now as he joins us from Rockwell Financial. Robert, great to have you. How are you today?
I am brilliant, Tom. How are you?
Before we go to our questions, I happen to know that you're floating on air at the moment, aren't you?
I had the pleasure of Paul McCartney's company this week, and it is a spiritual moment. It really was fantastic.
Watching little bits online, it looks like it's off the clock. He looks like untouched by time.
Honest to God. It's his energy. He's 82. He does 2 hours, 45 minutes, and he does Helter Skelter, and he does Live and Let Die, and then he hits it with Golden Slumbers, and then he does a beautiful duet with John Lennon. It's just, yeah, magical.
Is it very emotional in the room?
It is with the John Lennon thing. Everyone's kind of, yeah.
But otherwise, it's just kind of...
Everyone's just in awe because...
And delight.
Yeah, it's like literally seeing Jesus.
It is a bit. You look back to the footage of him arriving in JFK, you know, and it seems like hundreds of years ago, doesn't it? Yeah. You can't believe that man is still a part of our culture and all those girls. Well, congratulations on that. It's becoming a bucket list thing for people.
This is
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was it for me. Yeah, yeah. I have a very, very nice wife, let's just say, who organized that for me.
Oh, wonderful. What a lovely thing. Right then, I'm amazed. I do not see Christmas questions in front of me here at all. People are more concerned with pensions.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, number one for you, my accountant said I can make a pension contribution and save tax. Is this correct?
Absolutely. Yes. And if you are a business owner, and your financial year is finished on the 31st of December, you have 10 days left to make a pension contribution, save a lot of tax. Yeah, listen, there's very little things you can do as a PEY worker, no matter what you're doing, to try and save a bit of tax. Pensions have always been the easiest way. Yeah, absolute no-brainer.
Right. And you've 10 days left, have you?
For business owners, before your if your company year end, it depends. Yeah. Most businesses won't run a year end of 1st of January to the 31st of December. Sure. So if you're in that situation, if your year end is May, you've loads of time. But I'm just saying most people, their year end will be 31st of December. If you're self-employed, sole trader, you're usually making your pension contributions in October time of year.
So you can make that contribution in those 10 days. And then it's in next year's tax bill, is it that?
You're writing off this year's tax bill. It's this year, actually, right? If it's corporation tax.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, very good. Pensions again. Now, I'm 38. I don't have a pension. Is there anything I can do now that can accelerate how much I can end up with by the time I stop working?
Start. To be honest, I don't have means to start. So just do something. Don't get obsessed with thinking you have to have loads. It's okay. So start with what you can afford. The best advice I give to everybody is skip every third pay rise. So you take a pay rise, you get the next pay rise, and then at your third pay rise, if you've got a pay rise of 3-4%, just don't take it. Just put it into your pension, because then you haven't taken money from today's net pay, because that's what pains people. Like, oh, I don't know, I've lots of things going on. Whereas if a pay rise is coming to you, allocate every third pay rise, you'll retire with a very, very healthy pension pot.
Right. That's how you would accelerate it.
Yes.
Okay. I've just received my grandmother's house in her will, but the probate is taking a while to get over the line. How can I make that? You're laughing, which suggests that, probate, eh? How can I make this process quicker?
Probate's like a good pint of stout, Tom. You can't rush it. So, unfortunately, nothing. Honestly, just it is a torturous, long, arduous process that should be weeks and takes months, 6-9 months in cases.
And why is that, Anthony?
Because unlike every other industry over the last 40 years, the law is very slow to embrace technology and change. And that's the God's honest truth.
Right. Because we just talked about the Dublin Airport and the four-year planning permission turnaround. So is this more of the same?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, yeah. It's just, honestly, in a digital age, it's insane how long some of these things take. But it's just the law exists on paper,
yeah,
literal paper, and they don't, it has to be done in time. And
would it be quicker in a different country?
I'm not familiar with it. I know the English have the same problem. I know that.
Okay. Well, we have their law, really, don't we?
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Any advice for those struggling to get onto the property ladder?
Oh, God. Yeah. I suppose, like, listen, don't let it consume you is the first thing. I suppose psychological advice. You can get into a doom loop. So I had this conversation with a client recently who was talking about his daughter. And I said, she can buy a house. She just can't buy the house she wants to buy now.
Yeah.
So I said, the first thing is that if you really want to buy a house, you can buy a house today in Carlow for, I'm from Carlow, so I can say this, in Carlow for €210,000.
Yeah.
That's a house. You can buy a house, but you just don't want to live in Carlow. That's fine. I'm from Carlow. It's a nice place, but you might want to live there.
You might live in Dublin. It might be awkward for you.
Exactly. So I understand that. So the advice is, firstly, don't get caught in a doom loop. Two, save hard. And buy the best property you can as soon as you can, and understand that it's called a property ladder for a reason. I think the biggest problem with some people today is the first home has to be the dream home. And you will know that's never the way. Mm. Your first home's your first home, and then you trade up. So just be prepared to compromise a bit in your first.
Sure. And love each one as it comes to you as well.
Absolutely.
You'll always look back in your old house, right, find something in them you loved. Right then, question for you from one of our listeners. Does your expert recommend putting different pots for different things like education, birthdays, holidays, Christmas, or just one big pot? I struggle to deal with large amounts of money and figuring out how much I have and need.
Well, that listener's actually answered the wrong question, because they're obviously on top of things. So they've identified what makes them tick. So I suppose everybody has their own way. So if you're the type of person who is that way, you like being organized, then having your own pots makes tremendous sense, because it's easy to go, well, I have that. Like, my mother is brilliant, right? She lives in the old age pension and a small few quid of an old pension for my dad, yeah, who's deceased. And she'd say, now I've 50 quid in a bucket over there, yeah, an envelope over there. That's for me hair. And I've money for the TV license in a Tupperware pot over there. And I've money behind the curtain. Like, she's just, because she saves away, and that's, yeah, her way. So it's the same way. If you have a pot for each outgoing, well, then it's easier for you to keep a track of it, keep tracking your progress. Are you saving enough into it? Brilliant idea. But for other people, that would drive them insane, because they're not organized.
Yeah.
So then they say, well, I can't do it. No, just have one pot. If you're a disorganized person, having one pot's brilliant. If you're an organized person, have loads of pots.
Right. Very good. I mean, your mother puts things aside like this. Is that where you got your financial skills? Do you think you're watching all that?
If I was as clever with my money as my mother. Yes. If only.
Right. I want to put a lump sum into a fund that just tracks the S&P 500 and just leave it there for 20 years. Can I do this, and with who?
Yes, and I'm loath to name particular providers, but sure. Contact Rockwell. We'll definitely put you in touch with somebody and we'll help you with that. But yes, very easily done. And it depends on the amount. That's what I'm saying. I loath to say a particular provider. It depends on the amount, because you might get a better deal with someone else.
Right. How would that do, would you say?
Well, the S&P is up about 14% per annum on average over the last 20-some years. So that's spectacular.
Yeah.
Who's to say what the next 20 years would look like? But there's a lot to be said for just buying an index. I get it. I wouldn't. My general financial advice would be, the S&P tracks really seven stocks really in the world, because the S&P 500, 55% of it's made up of the biggest seven companies in the world. I'd say, just to diversify yourself, buy the MSCI Global. Just for general financial advice, buy the global index, because it means if the US market's down, you might make money.
That sounds like a fairly spectacular return. You say 14% per annum.
Insane. Yeah, yeah. Honestly.
Why are we not all doing that?
Some have been. honestly, because I think, Tom, to be honest, after the crash, everyone became like averse to risk.
Yeah.
You know, and they always say, the old adage Buffett used to say, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful.
Yeah.
So if you pile into the markets in 29, 10, 11, if you had a bean, by the way,
yeah.
let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
But if you did, yeah, you've done very well out of it.
Right. And I'm just wondering then, you know, you talked about the crash 2008, not a time to get. How do you know this isn't a time to not get involved also?
The whole thing about risk is, I always say, like, COVID had this thing. Remember, we had to flatten the curve?
Yeah.
So I kind of just come up with my own theory that time flattens the risk curve. So the longer time frame you have, the more risk you should be prepared to take, because I've got 130 years of empirical evidence that says if you just leave it alone for 20 years,
yeah,
it'll be crashes and it'll go up and it'll go down. But if at the peak of the market, at the crash, you made your money back in about 5 years. So it took about 5 years for it to get back to where it was. But then the intervening 10 years, your money has trebled.
Okay. So that's very much for people who have time on their side.
Yes.
It'll be grand. I want to become more financially literate, says a listener. Is there a course I can take or something that I can learn from a book?
Yes. By The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. Without question, it should be on the school curriculum. It is the most profound book about money and finance ever written. It is brilliant. It is easy to understand. It is so logical. You wonder why no one ever wrote the book before, since, or after. It is incredible.
Who's that aimed at?
Everybody. Yes, he's not aimed at billionaires or anything like that. Everybody. It's about the psychology of money and about teaching you what is enough. And understanding that what is enough for you is great. It's really profound. Honestly, forget about courses and YouTube.
Okay. And is that, are there skills in that? Because that's,
yes.
you know, wants to go financially literate. So I'd say wants to be just more aware of you know, how money works and where you can put it and what return you can get. And
yeah, outside of that, yeah, if I need to get something done on the house for plumbing, I get a plumber. If I have a problem with my feet, I go to a chiropodist.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to use the professionals. I know I am a professional, but I am just saying don't, because the stress of trying to figure it all out will drive you mad. So I do understand about being literate, definitely, but yeah. Read The Psychology of Money, you'll get most of it out of that, sincerely. Okay. And if you want to know about budgeting and stuff like that, Dave Ramsey's pretty good. He does a brilliant show
Dave
on YouTube.
Yeah. Okay. Any tips on how I can prioritise saving when there's so much pressure in social outings to spend money? That's a good Christmas question.
Yeah, it really is. The easiest answer to all of this is a bit of restraint never did anyone any harm.
Hard thing to
it is
explain
incredibly
that to people
hard.
Sometimes.
Very, very, very hard.
Some people don't have restraint.
No. And I think that's where you find yourself getting into debt.
Yeah.
Because you're spending money to keep up a lifestyle with people who really you don't like. Mm. So I kind of, when I have clients who found themselves in this situation, I go, but at the end of the day, do you care about them? And they go, no, but I have to keep up with them. And I go, but why? Mm. So there's a deeper psychological thing going on there. So all you do there is either if it's a night out and it's just getting a bit too expensive, just go, God, I got to be up early in the morning.
Sure.
Leave. If it is a particular purchase that everyone's buying, just go, nah, I had a look at that. It just wasn't for me. And that's okay. It just wasn't for me.
You can pretend to be a religious persuasion of some type. That
it's just, Presbyterian.
You'd like to spend money, but it's just against your religion. Give that a go. Right, this may be one for an agony aunt, but my boyfriend is obsessed with crypto and thinks we should invest all of our savings into them. Oh, my God. But I really don't like the sound of them. In fairness, I don't know much about them. Nobody does. But they seem kind of shady. What does the expert think?
Oh, God, right.
Say there, after Trump's election on Elon Musk, what's going on with it?
Yeah, so, okay, my own view on crypto is this. It is an asset that you can invest in and make a lot of money in. But so is wine.
Yeah.
And so is art. And just like wine and art, I have no idea how it's valued. So be careful. The only thing I'll say about Bitcoin, the one thing it isn't, is money. And I won't bore you with what. It's just not money. Crypto is not money. But it is a way of making money. But it's also a way of losing money. Mm. So you can buy a piece of art that someone tells you is worth 10 grand. And the next guy goes, it's actually worth 100 quid. So that to me is crypto. So would you put all your savings into it? Good God, no. But if someone wants to dabble and understand that every penny they put in, they could literally lose, then fire away. Absolutely. But don't try and convince me that it's some new world order and we're all going to be. No, that's complete nonsense. It's controlled by about 5,000-6,000 people.
Right.
And they pump it and they dump it and it'll be at 110 and then they'll dump it down to 60 and they'll take their billions and then they'll pump and dump. And it's the greatest pump. And the old Wolf of Wall Street was based on pump and dump scheme,
yeah.
which was you hyped it up, then you sold it off and everyone got
right.
killed. So
is crypto just a big pump and
that's my personal
scheme.
Opinion. That's not a professional.
But everyone is trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, but honestly, and to me, that is it.
Not to when you see Elon Musk talking about, you know, making other people rich through his advice on this.
Yeah, but he's making himself rich. Don't forget, because he.
But
owns.
You just start wondering, you know, can I not be one of the people to jump on this carousel as well?
Yeah, but it's kind of great. There's a financial planning theory called the Greater Fool Theory, which is it's who you pass it on to.
Sure.
So don't be the last person holding the potato.
Don't be the last person holding the potato. That sounds like a book. if you get a chance to write it. That's the one for you. Bobby Kerr has just joined us.
The
man who has the potato with him at the moment is Bobby Kerr.
How are you, Tom? Good to see you, as always.
You
coming up on today's show, we have a festive show. We've a business choir, believe it or not. They're called the Piccolo Lasso Choir.
Ah, yes.
They're not really a business choir, but I'm just calling them that so I can get them on the show. I'll be analysing Christmas spending with Connor Pope. I do my annual trip down Grafton Street. I did it earlier in the week where I check the retail temperature of the street. I talk to retailers, buskers, flower sellers. So I have a special report on that. And I have an executive chair with a difference today because two amazing entrepreneurs are making things happen out in Gaza. They're getting medical aid in there at a level that is just unbelievable. So I have a special piece with them at the end of the show.
Very good. And the Piccolo Lasso Choir I know well. I think I have them in this very studio.
They're a business choir, yeah.
Yes. The well-known business choir. I look forward to hearing them performing. That'll be wonderful. Before we let you go, I don't think we've actually given that woman an answer, have we? Have we told her to let her boyfriend invest?
No,
don't
no,
do it.
No,
no. Stay away.
Let him dabble with his own few quid.
Yeah, okay. Don't be caught holding the potato, really, is this.
Just don't be the last person owning Bitcoin when everyone else has sold it.
Okay. Ooh. On that warning. Robert, thank you very much indeed.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.